Thanks for tuning in for this broadcast of Power Walk. When life is unbelievable. That's our current series brought to you by Reverend Paul Cannings. Throughout Scripture, all who came to Jesus for healing came believing that He could do this for them. They sought Him out because they saw Him working in other people's lives. Today, we not only have the testimonies of those in the Bible, but also countless testimonies of those around us who've experienced God's power in their lives. So do you pray in expectation, or do you just voice prayers with really no hope for change? Here's Pastor Cannings now, encouraging us to hope in God and see Him work on our behalf.
If there's anything I'm confident that life can walk you to is the feeling of hopelessness. What is the point? You're going to church because it's Sunday, not expecting anything anymore. You do your devotions because you truly do believe in the Lord God. You believe that He died for your sins and He rose from the dead. You believe that with all your heart. But the expectation of God making a difference sometimes has driven you to live a life of just normalcy, just an apathetic way of living life where you're not necessarily expecting to win. It's kind of like a team who is down by 30 points. So they just kind of running the plays. Many times life will make us feel like we're down 40 points. And we could just go through the motions, just live life in an apathetic way. Or we could choose to be like this father in Mark chapter 9 as we continue this story this week. When life is unbelievable, what are the steps do we take so we don't arrive at hopelessness? And we find in verse 24, Mark chapter 9, he says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief." As we said earlier on, one of the things you find in this father is that he's persistent because he understands that the evidence is there that Christ has done these things. He's been struggling with his son for years. He said these things were happening when he was a child. He's watched his son seek to be destroyed, thrown into waters where they have to rescue him so he doesn't drown. He has been fighting back and forth this way. His son can't really talk anything because the demon is a dumb demon. The demon doesn't speak. So the son, when he's going through these things, he can't say anything to his father. And the father has stayed the course, and he did not stop looking for Jesus. He found him, but then he ran into the disciples who were given a special anointing to remove demons. But they weren't able to on this particular demon. So you have that, then the scribes are just really on their case about it. And the disciples are just powerless in the sense that they just can't do anything. And the father persists forward. And when he sees Jesus Christ, he says to Christ, "Hey, listen, I'm bringing this boy and they can't do anything. Will you help me?" And Christ responds to him. And when Christ responds, a demon makes things worse because sometimes in life it gets worse before it gets better. And Jesus Christ now responds to the man and he says, hey, in verse 23, you have to believe. As we discussed yesterday, the belief system is not for Sunday morning. It's not just for Bible study where we go, oh, yeah, praise the Lord. This is wonderful. The music is great. And we believe in Jesus. No, he says when you hit the door and you go back home to a marriage that's not changing. You go back home to a single life that is still lonely. A lot of financial stress. The depression can show up at any minute. Or you're going back to the fact that there's illness and sickness. So now after the pep rally sometimes or after a great word, an aspiring word of God, the question is now we are facing this issue. Do we walk into the focus where we are not expecting God to do anything? Or do we function like this father when Christ would look at him? Christ says, no, you can't turn it off when the things get worse because Sunday morning is gone. You got to stay. Now the call to faith is on. When you finish the singing at church, when you finish hearing the word on this station, when you finish hearing the word of God on Sunday morning, okay, now I've given you the resources you need, the word of God. Now let's go do this. He says right here, and straightway after Christ challenged him, he had this time when Christ is saying, you've gotten the word now. This is what you got to do is keep believing when you hit this door. Basically, using that as an analogy, in verse 24, he says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord," watch it carefully, "Lord, I believe you are mighty, powerful, in control, have all authority. There's not a question in my mind. I believe that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I believe that you could control this situation. You can operate it. You could fight this demon off, Adonai. You can make this situation better. I believe that. But the problem is, when this thing continued to persist and now is getting worse right in front of you, I still believe you, Lord, getting worse right in front of you, then sometimes I struggle with the confidence I need to continue to have when the situation keeps going forward. I love his confession, his openness. Sometimes we have to come, like many times I've read so many scriptures. David standing in front of Goliath. You know what? He's an uncircumcised Philistine. He's taunting the army of God. But I'm going to take you on because I kill a lion and a bear. The people that are going to make a difference in how they keep walking with God are people who still keep looking at the situation exactly the way it is, accept it for what it is, and keep pressing towards the mark. Those people are the ones that will be able to stand even when inside they feel like they're falling apart. They stand. They accept this is where I am. And they go to God exactly that way. You see, that's the first step here. When life seems hopeless, you got to keep it real. And that's why he says this in verse 25. And when Jesus saw the people came running toward him, he rebuked the foul spirit. I don't like to read into the text or put a lot of things into the text, but what makes me think here is the fact that when he went to raise the girl up from her being dead, he would send everybody out the room. So it seems like when Christ is having to deal with these difficult situations, he doesn't want other people walking in there that may just be there to see what's going to happen. Maybe he doesn't want these people around because this man is already struggling with unbelief. He's trying to lift his faith. Because the Bible constantly says, you are healed because of your faith. Jesus Christ don't need faith. He responds, I reward, he says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, faith. I reward that. So if you choose to walk by faith and not by sight, if you choose to believe in God's word, please do not pollute faith. We've talked about that. Do not pollute faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's where it starts. It's whatever the word of God is saying. Not whatever I choose to believe God is going to do. It's whatever the word of God is saying, that where it starts. It comes from there. And then when I choose to walk by faith and not doubt, when I choose to obey God, even if it's a lion's den, when I choose to obey God, even when it is difficult situations that I may face, I keep pressing towards that mark. The Bible says, okay, now I'm living in a confidence and trust and full surrender in who God is. Now you're exercising faith. It doesn't have to make sense. It has to make biblical sense. That's it. He says right here that the people are coming, and he says, you know what? Let's get the spirit out of this man. He says, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him. And he entered no more into him. In other words, don't turn around here. We notice that in that text that a spirit, if the person isn't saved, could come back into them. And that's in the Old Testament times. This young man is not going to have the Holy Spirit poured into him so that the body is his temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. That's not going to happen here. So he has to make sure the spirit doesn't come back. Jesus Christ has to say, no, your demon, don't come back. He's telling the demon that. So this man watching Jesus, who he believes is Lord, who he believes could control everything, dominate everything, is watching the powerful act of Jesus Christ take place before anybody could ever come and disrupt this particular meeting. That's why I tell people, don't invite people into your prayer life that doubt. The people that live by faith, have those people pray effectively. Pray with a petition. Let them pray effectively. And the reason why they're going to pray effectively is because they're not going to quit. Faith is persistent. It doesn't quit. And that's why in the midst of this, Jesus Christ responds this way. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, verse 26, and came out of him. And he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said, he is dead. So the crowd arrives after the spirit has left and they're going, he's dead. Christ said, all right, you need to see more than the Father did. You need to see more because you're here for the show. You're not here because you believe like this man does. So I got to take this situation to a deeper level. I like this in the story. I must admit, I love that in the story that Jesus Christ took this to a deeper level. It's like, okay, let me show you I am the resurrection. The young boy is not dead, but Jesus Christ wants to show them you need salvation. I can't tell you that's for sure, but that's what seems to be implicit in the text, because in verse 27, Jesus took him by the hand. The crowd is now there and lifted him up and he arose. Wow. I like how the text puts it. It's not he is rising up. In the Greek, it means once and for all, the young man jumps up with Christ holding his hands. It's immediate. It's powerful. It's like hitting the light switch. Boom, the lights are on. Because this father stood his course, because this father did not become apathetic, because his father, when the boy is getting worse, when the situation is getting more difficult, admitted his pain, admitted his weakness, but stayed in the course of what God is calling him to. And he stood there believing that Jesus is Lord. This man is able to see his son rise. Everybody else, they came to join the party. But this man now has his son hold again, because no matter what he faced, he believed. He accepted his unbelief. Christ fixed that for him and moved him forward. Ah, folks, I love the fact that Christ said, okay, he didn't go say, oh, well, let me go inside of you and get a screwdriver and fix your unbelief. He says, no, we could fix this by the fact that you didn't go anywhere. You called me Lord. You believe that I am able, even though you struggle to see how this is going to work, but you stayed right here. And because of that, here's your son again. So your unbelief has been quenched. Ah, folks, many times when life is unbelievable, when things are just overwhelming, I like what Paul would say, in my weakness, I am strong. When I don't see a way that I can get anything done, when I'm not capable of it in myself, no nine languages, Hebrew, Hebrews, Pharisee, Pharisees, Paul says, I count it loss. It means nothing. Because what does it do for me when it comes to dealing with the pain of life and needing for Christ to be my strength? So why don't I just accept I can't make it on my own? So I'd always think to trust God each and every day. Folks, it's not what is happening in your life. It's who you're making it through life with that matters most. Stay focused.
Amen, Pastor Cannings. This father just stayed there, even admitting to and asking for help with unbelief on his part. So let's also persevere and ask God for strength even when life becomes unbelievable. You're welcome to visit us online at powerwalkministries.org for a copy of this message series or any of the other resources that we offer. And one in particular I'd like to point you to is Dr. Canning's book titled Why Can't Mondays Be More Like Sundays? This will be very helpful in the area of maturing and growing in your faith. You're welcome to call us at 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402. And now remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He has the power to do anything at all and has already promised to work all things out for good to those who love Him.